KCCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network. And, folks, immigration, our topic today. It's been a heated topic in our nation. It's already a major issue in the debates for the presidency. And sometimes the debate is lumped all under one label of immigration, when in fact there's both legal immigration and there is illegal immigration. We see the importance of borders throughout the scripture, even in God giving to Israel what we refer to as the promised land, very specific in the borders that were given there. We also saw how burdened Nehemiah was when he traveled to Jerusalem and saw the borders had broken down, the disarray of the walls, they were broken, and how he went about to rebuild and complete that task in 52 days, being careful to have gates that would lock people out, and efforts to keep certain individuals at bay that might do harm either physically or even to the spiritual fabric of the people. We're also familiar with Acts 17:26, which says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So yes, we're all of one blood, of one race, but what about this aspect of the bounds of their habitation? How does all of this apply to where we are as a nation on immigration issues? And the bigger picture, how does this all apply to us as Christians? How do we look at this topic? Well, joining us today, we welcome Sam Rohr, who is president of American Pastors Network and the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. He's also host of Stand in the Gap. He's a former state representative in the Pennsylvania legislature as he sought to apply biblical principles in all areas of legislation, often referred to as the conscience of the House because of his consistent stance for moral truth in public policy. Sam, good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be back with you, as always.
Sam, why is this issue of immigration such a hot topic in today's political climate?
I think at the end of the day, Jim, it's a hot topic only because we as a culture and a nation have walked away from God's simple understanding of what constitutes a nation and what goes with a nation and government and governmental leaders and the purpose for government, Romans 13. And what I mean by that is this, a nation can be defined, and it's often defined this way. It's an area defined by a common language, a common worldview, and common identifiable boundaries. Now that's the definition of a nation. So, and as you said from Acts 17, God established those boundaries. And they were known from the beginning of time. So in God's mind, nations have to have defined boundaries. Otherwise, you don't have a nation, and I just gave the definition of it. And God said he works through nations. He works through nations ultimately for the fulfillment of his plan of redemption. But he said in Acts 17, as Paul said on Mars Hill, that's the way his plan is. So as we find that a culture walks away from God's plan, it becomes controversial from that perspective. So why are we so at odds and divided in this nation about what God says about human sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Or marriage?
Yeah.
Boundaries fall into that same category. God is just as clear on the family as he is on the individual, as he is on the nations, and what he defines as their jurisdiction for all of them, what they are to do, what they are to look like. And as we walk away from God, every one of those issues can become controversial. I mean, are we not even fighting over what's truth now and what's not truth?
Yes, yes.
It all goes down to that. I think it's what it comes down to. We as a culture have walked away from a biblical worldview and what God says. And so what used to be absolutely of no controversy, agreed upon, now becomes controversial, that it has its root in it and that we've walked away from God's model.
Yeah. Is there a difference, Sam, in how a government is to respond to immigration, legal and illegal immigration, how a Christian responds to the matter?
Well, absolutely, in many respects. Now, this is how, and it comes down to what I refer to as the jurisdictional approach. From God's perspective, what is the purpose of government? Well, Peter talks to us about it. Romans 13 talks about it. Government's purpose is to praise those who do well. In other words, to protect those who follow God's moral law and the law, and to punish those, bring justice against those who break God's law, the moral law, and the law of the land. That's why God gives government the sword. So when it comes to borders, what does borders have to do with government? Well, a government where you have leaders who have a responsibility to protect the lives of its citizens, how can you define what a citizen is unless you have a border in which you can say on one side's mine and the other side's yours? So fundamentally, government's responsibility is to maintain the border, which is exactly what this administration is trying to do. And over the last administrations, we've allowed to break down so that a defined border and the protection of that border and the protection of that line of delineation is a purpose of government, and the protection of the citizens so that the enemy does not come across that border to protect me is the exact purpose of government. Now, the church would look and say, are we not to carry out the gospel to all people? The answer is, yes, we are. That's why we send missionaries across the world to other nations. What about the person next door? Should we not be compassionate and take the gospel to and help out our neighbor next door? Jesus says, yeah, you love me, you will love your neighbor as yourself. That means taking them the gospel, being compassionate to them. And that would mean whether that person is of the same faith, that person is not of the same faith, whether that person is lovely, or whether that person is not really lovely, we manifest individually love for even our enemies, Christ tells us, and the church is to reach out and to demonstrate God's love by assisting and helping those people. But the church and the individual should never be in violation against the purposes that God has established for government, which is to protect its people and its borders. We get mixed up and we create controversy, Jim, when we walk away and confuse what God has established for the role and purpose of government, the role and purpose of the church, and the role and purpose of the family, and the role and purpose of the individual. But put together, it's like hands in a glove. They work really well. Together, it doesn't work at all.
Many will point to the text that's at our Statue of Liberty. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Many will point to the Psalm and say, see, we're to have open borders. Should that be our takeaway from that?
No. And see, what an amazing thing, because never in our country's history, Jim, just taking it from a civil perspective, that never meant have an open border and anybody comes in. Matter of fact, our history in this country clearly establishes that those who came in at one point, frankly, according to the law, you could not come into this nation unless you had a recipient here, somebody who was going to pay for your way when you got here. Certainly, this nation did not allow to come across and come into the nation if they were bringing in some type of greatly communicable disease.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, and when they came, they had to submit to a history lesson of this United States, and they had to swear allegiance to this nation. What was all that for? Well, it was because we do welcome, and this nation always has welcomed and opened its arms to anyone who would come and would want to be a part of this, as in Pennsylvania called, William Penn called, a holy experiment, or earlier the Puritans called it a shining city on a hill. If you want to come here and be a part of this shining city on a hill, this nation, in this new world way back then, or this holy experiment in freedom, all were welcome to come, but they had to come as someone who was going to become a part of, and not to be one who came with the intent of doing harm. It's always been that way in this country, and frankly, that way in any country I've ever read about in history, except now.
Sam Rohr is our guest today in Crosstalk, president of American Pastors Network and host of Stand in the Gap, operating both radio and television, and talking about a Christian look on at the topic of immigration today. Is this topic of immigration, is this addressed at all in our Constitution?
Well, I'm going to ask me a question. I'm not going to give you a citation there. of it. What our Constitution guarantees is the freedoms and the rights given to all people based on what the Declaration of Independence says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
The rights declared in the Constitution does speak to what those protections are, but those protections don't apply to every person in the whole world. They apply to the people who are in this nation as citizens. There are universal principles, but this is a constitution for our United States of America. The Declaration of Independence defines our view of freedom under a Judeo-Christian worldview and defines where rights come from and where law comes from, Creator, God, and then underpins all of that. So all of those things come from that perspective, Jim, and the Constitution, therefore anything that it would say all the way throughout would be consistent with those basic principles.
But you've seen a morphing of this issue across our nation over the past many years.
Well, we have. And see, that's an amazing thing, because not that many years ago, the law that governs the admittance of immigrants and what would become citizens was very, very, very defined. And like I say, it included health. It included commitment to what our laws would be here. There were a host of things that were limitations at one point according to the law. Now, in many cases, that law has been totally jettisoned. It has been forgotten. Or in many cases, mostly in these last years, it's just been ignored. And the result of that, Ben, is now the controversy where we have how many millions who are here who are not citizens partaking of governmental programs, which are to be reserved for citizens, but given now openly to all. It's created a problem of an enormous magnitude, not just economically. Certainly that's it, but health-wise across this country, safety-wise across this country, our prisons are filled with so many who are not even citizens. When we don't do what God says, and He has prescriptions about who should come in and should not come in, but our laws have reflected that as well. And when we ignore that, the number of problems that are created are just enormous, and they soon come to a point where they become almost so big that they break your back. And that, I think, is what many actually want to happen, that it breaks our economic back in this country. It breaks our cultural back. It changes us from a Judeo-Christian nation to a nation that has no respect for God and in which freedom really can't exist. This really is a test of who we are. It is a battle. It's an internal battle fought a little differently than perhaps what's happening over in the Middle East right now, but a battle nonetheless.
We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. Sam Rohr is our guest today, a Christian look at immigration, and we're going to take the break and come back and talk further as to what is a believer's responsibility in all of this, and how do we respond to those who are in our land illegally? What is a believer's responsibility in this, and certainly where do we go from here as a nation on this very contentious issue? This is Crosstalk on VCY America, back in just a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the fossils take millions and millions of years to form?
Chris, we're all taught this, but in some ways this doesn't seem to make sense. We find millions and billions of well-preserved fossils, such as fish, showing scales and tiny bones. Yet when a fish dies, it floats to the surface or it sinks to the bottom where it's eaten by scavengers or quickly decays. In order for it to be preserved, it's got to be buried rapidly away from destructive processes. It seems obvious that fossils must be buried quickly by water action, and what can do that? I propose the Great Flood of Noah's Day. The fossils, by and large, are animals that died in the flood, laid down in sediments deposited by the flood. Yes, indeed, Chris. The flood is the key. It's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is with us today from American Pastors Network. A Christian look at immigration is our topic. Just before we pick up our discussion, Sam, give us a word about American Pastors Network.
Well, thank you, Jim. Yeah, the American Pastors Network is there to actually help demonstrate what it looks like for pastors to know biblical truth, know the issues of the day, and speak and apply biblical truth to the answers in the issues of the day, because we believe that the Bible speaks to all issues of life. And the Pastors Network is not only for those in the pulpit, although we want to provide a framework by which pastors who believe in the authority of Scripture, believe in salvation by faith in Christ alone, and have the courage to preach the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God, can actually be networked and stand together and know that they're not alone, but with a greater voice, speak into the public square rather than perhaps just one voice at a time. So we encourage those in the pew as well as those in the pulpit. Go to our website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sign up, become a part of it, and we will communicate and give good information to all who come. It's very important in these days.
Again, folks, that's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You'll find information on so many issues there on the site as well. Sam, as we take a look even here at the a Christian perspective on this, I mean, you're familiar with the scripture. The Bible says, "Let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith." We're told to care for the poor. We're told to welcome strangers, and as you mentioned earlier, yes, we're to love our enemies. Are passages which address these matters, are they being misapplied by spiritual leaders today as well as by political leaders as it relates to illegal immigration?
Tremendously, Jim. It's an amazing thing that even some years ago, obviously this debate on the border and the immigration really has come into the forefront with the election of this current president who began to challenge that. But it was around that time, during the end days of the Obama administration, when there were Christian leaders, quasi-Christian leaders, began to speak out and to say that anybody who challenged the idea that the borders should be controlled, that people should not be able to come across at will, was an ungodly thing. I actually have letters from supposed Christian leaders who said that it was an unbiblical action to say that the borders ought to be controlled. They took the position that we should open the arms. They quoted the verse on the Statue of Liberty, not the verse, but the statement on the Statue of Liberty that mm-hmm. you quote and said, see, we have always done that, and the Bible actually says that we must, and they will generally go to the passage in Leviticus 19:34. This is one that they will really start at. And they will go to Leviticus number 19:34. Let me just read this. It's not long, but this is what they will say. And because this is when God took Israel into the land, and he told them, now, I'm going to give you a land, as you said, has defined borders. This is a nation. You're going to be a nation. You have other nations around you, and you will have other people who will want to come to this new nation of Israel because of the fact that I am blessing it. And when they come, and he says, now, if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. This is Ezekiel 33, and then goes into 34. And he says, and the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. You shall love him as yourself. Sounds a lot like the New Testament, doesn't it? Love him
right.
as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
For you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. So there will many will stand up and say, see, that's the operative command. Israel told the people, you are to invite, if there's a stranger here who's not a citizen, and he's there with you, you open your arms, you treat him like a brother, you treat him just like somebody who was born there. They will cite that verse and say, see, that is what it is. And they will often take and connect that verse with the example of the Good Samaritan in the New Testament that Jesus gave about this man in the ditch, and the Samaritan comes along, and the religious leaders said they'd turned their back on them, and this individual reached out and at his cost took and made that person whole. And so the compassion of the Good Samaritan is lifted up as the epitome of Christian action, connected to Leviticus 19:34 about accepting those within and bringing them in as brothers and family, and say, see, that's it. Now, if that's the case, they say, then you cannot turn away somebody at the border. You cannot say to somebody who says, I want to come in because I want to be a part of you. I want your benefits or whatever it is. You cannot deny them lest you be viewed as non-compassionate. Now, here's where a lot of it goes wrong. That's not what the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches, number one. And it's certainly not what Leviticus 19:34 teaches. And this is the reason why. In the Old Testament, the word stranger is interpreted by several different Hebrew words, and they don't mean the same thing. 19:34 is the Hebrew word pronounced gar. It means a temporary inhabitant. It means someone with no inherited rights. But it also means a person who is there, not a citizen, but who comes to the land because of what they see perhaps God has done in that land, and they want to become a part of the laws and the culture of that land because of what they see. And it's basically, put it in different words, it's a stranger, it's a person who wants to assimilate and become a part of the nation. It's similar to Naomi and Ruth, where she says, I want your God to be my God, your people to be my people. I want to assimilate. I want to be a part of your nation. Well, that's what our original laws governing immigration in this country said. You come here, you be a part of our culture, you be a part of our laws, you support our laws, you support our constitution, and you don't fight against it. And originally, and actually the original law, 1952, Immigration and Nationality Act, actually said that at that point that if there were people who were to come in affiliated with any, I'm reading from the law, affiliated with any organization that advocates or teaches the overthrow by force or violence or other unconstitutional means of the government of the United States or all forms of law, or the killing of any officers, or undermining of the government of the United States, in any of these cases, they were not permitted to come in. Now, that was actually put into place in 1952 to guard against communists coming into this nation. But it reflects the ideology. So that's where they will go. The religious leaders will say, you've got to bring in everybody, but they don't interpret stranger to be like it actually is, and that is a person willing and wanting to become assimilated into the culture. And they neglect, if I can take you here to Isaiah chapter 1:7, because this is the contrast. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 7 says, God is taking now to Israel through Isaiah, saying, because you as a nation did not do what I told you to do regarding my law, regarding worshiping me, being grateful to me, implementing my law in your lives, because you have not done these things, he says, I'm going to judge you as a nation. Your country, now I'm reading, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it becomes desolate as overthrown by strangers. Now that strangers is a different word. That means, that word is zer, and it means an enemy. So what happened was that Israel, because they did not understand God's purposes, and their purpose was a person comes to the land because of God's blessing, they were to take that person and lead them to God. They were to lead them to worship in Jehovah. Because they did not do that, God said, I will not bless you anymore, and I will allow your land to be filled with strangers, but enemy strangers, who will rise up and burn your cities and kill your people and harm your women and harm your children. Those strangers there are enemies. And it's interesting how these religious leaders, Christian leaders, have an ability to neglect what God says in favor of what they want to hear. But what I just said, that's the context of strangers. And if you complete both halves of this, it puts it all in perspective. You leave one out, and you have the kind of circumstance we have now where we have actually strangers, enemies, inside the gates.
Yeah, and so therefore the illegal immigration, the strangers, the enemies inside the gate, I mean, this is more a sign of judgment than upon the people.
That's exactly correct, and that's what God said. That's what he said. I will allow these strangers to come into your land, and at a point in time, they will rise up. They will burn your cities. They will kill your women. They will harm your people. Yeah. They will take your land. And God, and that is what God said.
What a commentary.
And we'll allow that as judgment.
What a commentary on what we're seeing today, Sam.
It's when I look at it, Jim, I'm saying this is exactly how we ought to look at it. This is not just a political discussion before us.
Mm-hmm.
It is a controversy without a doubt. But we are seeing God's judgment on America by the fact that our nation is now filled with strangers who are enemies of America, opponents of the God of heaven, and those who seek to diminish and to destroy our freedoms and our Constitution. That's God's judgment when you see that happen, and that should be a wake-up call.
I'd like you to address another issue here before our next break, and it deals with the cities of refuge as established in Scripture, and there are those who will liken those cities of refuge to the sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants today. Is that an accurate comparison?
No, it absolutely is not. Those cities of refuge were a temporary time before the law of the land had been established, before the sword had been established, justice system had been established in the land. And they were there to protect the innocent when, in fact, at that point in time, people took law into their own hands. So they could go to a city, they could find refuge until a judicial system, as called out by God, where you could be confronted by your accusers and that kind of thing and have justice done. So when you have a sanctuary city in this nation, who rise up and say, come on in, strangers, enemies, come on in, and we will protect you in violation of the law of this land, they are doubly, in my opinion, they are doubly opposing God's plan for government generally, and federal government, purpose to protect the citizens. They, their own selves, have a responsibility to protect the people under their jurisdiction, and when they say, come on in, and we will grant refuge to those who are breaking the law, those who are not here to assimilate, therefore they would be the potential enemy of our land, they are doubly in violation of God's law. It's atrocious that anybody, pastors in my opinion, that word, biblical term, sanctuary cities, to be actually used inappropriately by people in this land, but they are. It's not at all biblical.
Yeah. Sam Rohr, our guest here today on Crosstalk, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. We're opening our phone lines, and perhaps something Sam has said has provoked a question in your mind. If you would like to comment on something mentioned here today, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Get on board right away here with your questions or brief comments. And also, after the break, we're going to find out from Sam his perspective on what is our path forward as a nation. Back in just a minute, this is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, our number, 800-733-9829.
The New England Primer was introduced in Boston in 1690 by Benjamin Harris. It was the first textbook printed in America. For a century after its introduction, it was the beginning textbook for students, and until well into the 20th century, it continued to be a principal text in all types of American schools. The founders, as well as millions of other Americans, learned to read from the New England Primer and the Bible. The core of the Primer is its rhyming alphabet, such as for letter A, in Adam's Fall, we send all. The letter G, as runs the glass, man's life doth pass. It also included lessons for youth, Bible questions, and a shorter catechism. A pocket-size hardcover edition of this 1777 historical reprint is available for a donation of $9 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the New England Primer.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Sam Rohr is our guest today, discussing a Christian look at immigration. Our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Sam, before we pick up our first calls here today, what is our path forward as a nation? But this is a very contentious issue right now in the political sphere. It's even a contentious issue in the sphere of the church as well. What is the path forward as you see it?
I'm going to say one word: revival. Jim, I mean, it might seem simplistic, but you know what? Everything that we're talking about, the whole concept of our Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the rule of law, justice, where it's based on absolute truth, the concept of government being representative of the people, not tyrannical government, and its purpose is praising those who do well, punishing those who do evil. The things that we've talked about, those are all very distinctively Judeo-Christian worldview approach for government and life and living. Our problem is that we now have perhaps a majority of the country, at least when we get to millennials and on down, we know that only 2-3% of them have a biblical worldview. So what is that biblical worldview? Well, God, creation, fall, where there is sin, which means there is accountability, there's a judge of the universe, as our founders understood, but there is, through Jesus Christ, redemption, and then restoration. That really is a biblical worldview. But without that, Jim, the whole concept of law, the belief, as we're talking about here, that God actually speaks to immigration, speaks to borders, speaks to matters of law. If we don't believe that, then why would we believe the Bible?
Yeah.
And if we don't believe the Bible, why would we support the principles underlying the Constitution, which are built upon it? That's our problem. We have now a culture dominated by a worldview perspective that doesn't fundamentally fear God and start there for how they approach the law. And I believe until the pulpits of America begin to speak again fully the whole counsel of God and take their people to what the Word of God says, we will not see a return. We cannot go back to freedom and experience freedom in this country until we taste once again of spiritual freedom and understand that that comes from Jesus Christ. No nation in this world has ever had civil freedom unless they have had and tasted of spiritual freedom, and that only comes through a knowledge of the God of heaven.
Sam Rohr, our guest. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Our first caller is Willie. Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. And I want to thank you and your guests, but this is a topic that I talk to my coworkers about, and they're Bible thumpers, but they have the wrong idea on what God said.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to read a scripture on where I stand and where the Lord stands. It's in Exodus 12:48, and it says, "And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his male be circumcised, and them that let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcision person shall eat thereof." Could your guest explain that to me so I will know that I'm interpreting it correctly? And thank you.
Thank you for the call, Willie. Sam, are you able to address that passage?
Well, I can. Basically, to some extent, I'm going to do it. I'm looking at the passage here right now. Effectively, what that is saying is what I was saying earlier. That is a stranger that comes to assimilate. And that's what it says there, and a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover of the Lord. It had to go through and do these other things, circumcision in that case. Now, to me, that's the ultimate of identifying with the culture.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is they had to identify with the laws and the culture of this new land of Israel if they were going to participate and be able to have some of the fullest blessings. The Passover was the religious exercise, but it was clearly an indication that they wanted to worship God of heaven. And so that's what that is saying, and that underscores, I think, what we're talking about here today, that a stranger for whom you really open the doors, open the arms to them in your land are those who say, we want to be like you, we want to worship your God, we want to assimilate and become a part of this nation.
Thank you, Willie, for the call. And understand that we've got people who are entering the nation today, Sam, that are seeking to do just the opposite. They want nothing to do with our God, as we see the historic founding of this nation. They want nothing to do with our laws. They want nothing to do with our Constitution. That's the other kind of stranger you referred to earlier.
That's exactly correct. And see, when we don't ask people what they think, and I think it used to be, when I go back to what I'm saying, back to 1952, the Immigration Nationality Act of 1952, that was put in place that you did not have identified communist atheists that were coming into this nation. Why was that? Well, it was because they, by their very nature and their very ideology, were really sworn enemies of a Judeo-Christian constitution, Declaration of Independence, and a body of laws that were hinged on the Ten Commandments, which still are, even though we've thrown them out of our schools. It's still, the Ten Commandments still becomes the hinge of our justice system. So they knew enough back then in the 50s to say, why would we have somebody come in who we know up front is going to work against us, yet that's what we've been doing by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands in this nation.
Yeah, and that's the message that's been coming from the Linda Sarsours of this world. Come into the land, but do not assimilate. Do not assimilate. And there's the danger. Bruce is calling from Somerset, Kentucky. Bruce, you're on the air.
I would like to mention how the politicians don't care to keep people in jail that have committed crimes. They won't turn them over to the ICE agents. And I saw the other day where a child rapist was released instead of being turned over to ICE. And I just think it's a comparison to how Jesus was crucified and Barabbas was set free. And I know that's not a really great comparison, but I think it's something to say. Mm.
Thank you, Bruce, for that. And one thing we noticed, Sam, is that lawlessness breeds even more lawlessness.
Well, it absolutely does. When justice is not done, which is what Bruce is talking about, when justice is not done, injustice will soon reign. And at that point, then you have freedom turning into tyranny. And that's what is really at stake in what we're doing. We violate the law. We ignore the fundamental law, the laws of the land, statutory law. We ignore God's law. We will ultimately, certainly, as in Isaiah, we will lose the civil freedom that was so long fought for and engaged in order to be here. We're literally giving it away.
Clint is calling from Sioux City, Iowa. Hi, Clint, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. Great topic for your show today. I wanted to call and tell you, I have heard many people try and use that passage from Leviticus 19 you guys mentioned earlier, but they forget. They need to go on and read just five chapters later in chapter 24, verse 22. It says, "Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God." And to me that says, sanctuary city, that so-called sanctuary city should not exist. And that's my comment on that.
Thank you. Any response here, Sam? Hello, Sam.
I'm sorry. I had to put myself on mute. I'm trying to find the passage that Clint just mentioned. But certainly, I don't find it here in verse 22, but certainly, if you do not have a common law that applies to every citizen equally in the land, that's also a description of injustice.
Yeah.
And so he was right on that. I agree with him.
Thank you. Thank you, Clint, for the call. Mark is calling from Hales Corners, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, Brother Sam, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you, Mark.
Great. As I was listening to Brother Sam a little bit ago, he was describing the judgment that befell the nation of Israel as God allowed immigrants to come in and influence it. And the parallel popped into my mind as to how the same thing happens in the local church when the leadership of the church doesn't believe in church membership. You have people come in with different doctrines, want to partake of the church's blessings, they want to become an influence in the church, their own good intentions, but sometimes in very negative ways. And I wonder, does Brother Sam have a thought on that?
Interesting correlation, Sam.
I think it's a good correlation from the standpoint that a church, we often get confused, and many churches are doing this. They believe that the purpose of the church is to reach out and just bring in everybody, and it becomes a collection of all types of people because we want to be the caring to all people. Well, but what is the church? The church is a called-out assembly of believers.
Mm-hmm.
The church then goes out into the world manifesting the light of the gospel and change lives, and then when those folks are redeemed, and see, then they are brought into the church. But if you bring in the world into the church will soon look like the world. That's the comparison there is to a citizen of a nation. A nation is common language, common worldview, common border. So if you bring in enough people who don't have a common language, i.e. the United States, multiple languages, all main, and not that you can't have, but you have to have a dominant language, and we haven't required a dominant language in this case, in this nation, for a long, long time. And even worse, when you have multiple worldviews who have different interpretations of God and truth and justice and freedom and right and wrong, you will no longer have a country. The same as the church. So the application yeah. by that principle is very, very accurate.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for calling in. Let's see, our number 800-733-9829. Alex is next in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Trying to make this real fast, man. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but they love to use the book of Leviticus, and it ties in perfect with Matthew 24, I mean, Daniel 9, Romans 11, the book of Psalms. When it's talking about, I mean, they never got their land in the book of Leviticus. So to try to apply that, that was a promise to Israel, and that was never fulfilled. But it will be in the future when Christ comes back to do the millennial reign. That verse simply is dealing with the nation of Israel in a future tense. I don't believe we need to run to the Greek or Hebrew to try to interpret that. I mean, we have God's perfect word.
We do have God's perfect word, and Israel was given its promised land. We saw that Israel was not faithful to take all of the land that was given to them. We've seen the demise of Israel because they forsook their God, something similar to what we see happening even in our own land today. But we'll get Sam's comment on this after the break, which is upon us right now. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Back in just a minute here on the VCY America Network, where number is 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewradio.com. The tragedy of the shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, have and should have shown you the brainwashing going on in America, and how the progressive, liberal, Marxist, and the Islamist will take a false narrative and drag it right into the middle of a story. We heard right away that the shooter in El Paso was a white nationalist, a Trump supporter. Yet his own manifesto said not only was he not a Trump supporter, it went on to declare that he was a supporter of liberalism. I'm talking neo-Nazism. He promoted the idea of a radical green agenda, like Hitler promoted, sustainable development, population control. He promoted the idea of keeping the races separated so they would not mix, a form of eugenics, if you will. The evidence is overwhelming. He was a neo-Nazi. And then in Dayton, Ohio, a progressive. Again, the false narrative is dragged in the middle of a scenario to brainwash the American people to get them to give up their liberties and their freedom. Don't be brainwashed.
taking a Christian look at immigration today. Sam Rohr is our guest from American Pastors Network. Check it out, folks, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, let's go back to Leviticus. Is this a passage dealing with prophetic implications? I mean, is this a Bible prophecy passage?
Well, actually, it's not. No, it's and I know what Jim was saying, and I think there's perhaps maybe you can stretch some kind of application, but really Leviticus was all about Israel going into the physical land and experiencing God's blessing after coming out of Egypt, and that's where he was telling them, you do these things, and you take all of the land that I give you, and you do what I tell you to do, and I'm going to establish you in the land. Well, they did not, and that's what Isaiah and all the prophets are about. There's a the Israel didn't do what God said, and they ultimately were disbanded as a nation until 1948. So now we're sitting here looking to the fulfillment of it when Christ will come back in that second coming, and all Israel will recognize who God is. And so there's a lot of prophecy yet to be fulfilled, but that portion in Leviticus was for them then. God gave it to them. As long as they did it, they were blessed, and when they didn't do it, judgment came.
Okay, that's going to pick up some calls here yet. Michael is our next caller from Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Michael.
Hi. I'm wondering, do you take the view that the United States is a chosen nation as Israel was a chosen nation?
Sam?
The answer is absolutely not. The reason being, and that the key word is as Israel was, because God went to Israel as a covenant nation. God went to Abraham and said, I am going to make of you and your seed a nation. That was all of God. What our founders did when they came here, they looked to the experience of Israel, and they looked to the principles of the Old Testament and said, if we as a nation followed and did what God said that he would do to bless Israel, we can expect that same blessing. And really, that is true because that applies to any nation in the history of the world. Now, when we look at it, would we not say, though, that this nation has been a most peculiar nation and a most blessed nation? In so many ways, the answer is really, absolutely yes. But we are not in the same kind of a secure position as Israel is. God is going to fulfill his plan through Israel. He's not going to preserve the United States in that same kind of covenant relationship.
Did you follow up, Michael?
I'd just like to say, yeah, I do. And I agree with a lot of that. Just like to say, I think you're really deceiving people and misusing the verses when you're comparing the immigrants that were coming to Israel with the immigrants coming to America. With Israel, God was trying to keep out the different gods and idols out of his chosen nation. America, not being God's chosen nation, though we are blessed because of, like you were saying, some of the right choices that our government has made, is far from God's chosen nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's a misuse to say that.
And Mike, I'm going to have Sam respond to that, but let me say this. These are the passages that there are religious puppeteers that are out there that are quoting these passages saying that this is why we need to take in and this is why we need to have open borders. Sam is saying, drawing from this, saying, no, here's the biblical principle that's applied here. This is what it meant here, and this is the biblical principle that can be applied. We're not saying that the United States is Israel, that we can claim its promises. No, and no wise. But there are biblical principles that we can gather how God dealt with this nation, how God deals with nations, plural. Thank you for the call. Sam, a follow-up comment.
Well, I would just second what you just said. That is exactly correct. That's why we went to those passages, because that was your question. What are our leaders saying? Are some of the Christian leaders, when they cite these passages, mm-hmm. are they being biblically accurate and correct? And my answer is no, they are not. When they quote just from Leviticus 19:34 and let out Isaiah 1:7 as an example.
Thank you, Michael. Anna is calling from New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, there's one element that I think we're overlooking, and that is I live 45 miles from the border, most of the people that are coming across believe that their land was stolen from them by the United States based on just a few battles. Millions of acres were taken. And so they feel that this is really their land. Never mind that the Spanish conquistadors did the same thing. But these people don't identify with them. They say, well, we are the mestizos, the indios, you know, the poor people of Mexico. And this was rightfully our land.
Sam, your response.
I know that that exists. That's a good point you brought up. But here again, this is a nation. Things change over time. And there are nations with borders now that are not the same as the nations were in the time past. Mm-hmm. In this case, this is the way this, this has been our nation. These are our laws. This is the way it is. So these are the laws we must follow. This is our nation.
We're going to squeeze one last call in from New Mexico. Andreas, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. You know, there's a lot of mixed calls. I mean, a lot of mixed ideas or thoughts about immigration. But, you know, in God's law and in God's eyes, if you're a Christian, God's going to take care of you because he's the one who has, you know, chose you in regardless. Like, for example, here in New Mexico, there's a lot of New Mexico Sephardic Jews that came here through the Inquisition in Spain, and they're here now real heavily and mixed in with the Native Americans. So you have a lot of, you'll have a lot of diversity, but God's going to take care of you. If you're his child, if you're an immigrant, bottom line, God's going to make a way where there is no way. And, you know, I'm real open-minded and not so closed to say, no, we can't let no one in, you know.
Yeah, thank you. And we're down to 30 seconds here, Andreas, so I want Sam to have a closing comment on the issue.
Well, I agree with what you're saying there. We have been a nation of immigrants. We do want people to come in. But if they're going to assimilate and become a part of our worldview, support our Constitution and our understanding of freedom, we do want them, but not others.
Sam Rohr, our guest here today on Crosstalk with a Christian look at immigration, the website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Sam, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Jim.
And folks, check out the website. Certainly you'll find helpful information. And pastors, take a look at it. See how you can incorporate even into the ministry at American Pastors Network to help you do what God's called you to do. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.